this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Well, I'll start off by saying this. Do not blame that game on the defense, okay? I don't care who you play, whether it's a high school team, a junior college team, a college team, much less an NFL team. When you turn the ball over five times, four interceptions, one for a touchdown, three others in field position to set up touchdowns, you ain't gonna beat anybody I just talked about. Anybody. All right? And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Playoffs feels like the new title. All I could use these days is a win as 3 points. But United shit the bed again. 1-1 draw at the Hawthorns against West Bromwich Albion, 19th place. How you feeling, sir?
Title? What a title? We're just trying to win a game. We're just trying to win a game, sir. That sucked. That's gave the game away. Gave the game away. How many minutes in we give the game away, sir?
Two minutes in?
Look, frustrating for United fans, but we know we've said it on the pod before. Ole streaky. Streaky to the upside. He got to stop at the table. He streaked to the downside, sir. I think that's 6 points of their last five league games. We have 1 point from Sheffield United and West Brom. You know, it's tough. It's tough. We can't kick the slide. After that Sheffield United loss, the Everton game would have been a big bounce back. We all know how that collapsed in the final minute. It's been a tough ride, sir, and we were looking for anything and everything to sort of break this bad juju at the moment. United really need to sort it out because starting to look like a race for top four, sir, and all this Europa League and FA Cup, et cetera. We really need to cling on to something. This team needs to turn it around.
They do, because like you said, it's quickly turning into a race for top four. The team that we're trying to keep up with, the City Blues, unfortunately, and the problem is they look red hot, and you know we can't count on them to drop points. United have to pick it up, turn things around, and they have been on a slide. Like you said, just dropping points where we shouldn't have been. The Everton one was a great example. You're going to lose points at Sheffield, you're going to drop points against Arsenal. You do all the hard work to get back against Everton, and then you do that. Today, more of the same, just giving up an early crap goal, and then never really got going, right? Like, you know, Bruno bailed us out at the end of the first half, and you got to see as clear as day that midfield wasn't working. McTominay and Fred were not creating enough. Fred had two bad games in a row, so I didn't get to cover the FA Cup game, of course, but he was bad in that game too. Couldn't put a forward ball in, and it was more of the same. Ole's got to be subbing it up, you know, making subs earlier. The 80th minute sub should have come in 20 minutes early, 30 minutes earlier. So we're going to criticize Ole because at the end of the day, this is something that he has to get better, which is freshening the squad up a little bit. He's got a deep squad. He isn't using it.
Yeah, but it's like there's a tough decision there because do you play your best 11 against West Brom or do you rotate for some energy or maybe to switch it up in midfield? I think that's why Ole's streaky, because he rides the team. He rides that 11 until they're just dusted. And I think you're right. Like, you look at Fred against West Ham, and, you know, he had a lot of the ball in the middle, and he really is that deep-lying playmaker behind Bruno. He's got to really just get the ball out wide, get it to Bruno in the middle of the park, kind of pull the strings. He did a bad job. And then today it was rusty. It's nothing against Fred, but like maybe you need some fresh blood in there. I totally see it, but it's Ole seems more reactionary than anticipatory as far as the starting 11 go. And I can't argue with him playing the team he played, but I think the changes should come sooner. I think that's really, like you alluded to, right.
When you have options, right? Like Donny van de Beek offers you a totally different option when you take out a Fred. You still have a workman McTominay, and it's West Brom. This isn't City. He should be able to like stifle their attack with the players that you have, with the team that you have. You don't need both those players, which are like your workman. you know, midfield that we've gone to for the top teams. For West Brom, I think you need the creativity of Adani, of Amata. So we could go all day. This is just the intro, but no one's feeling good after that performance. Just a bad,
so it's a big game.
It's a bad game, and it's a bad performance, and it's like a big time that we needed to pick up 3 points. And not doing so really just widens that gap. 10 points if they win their game in hand. So not looking good.
Title, sir? Title? We're not talking about a title, sir. I'll tell you, at the end of the day, this is top four. And if you, the thing that scared me before we did this podcast, I looked at our fixtures in the league, and it's a race for top four, sir. We have a lot of big fixtures, and if you can't get it done against Sheffield United or West Brom, you got to get it done against Chelsea. You got to get it done against City, Leicester, et cetera, sir. And there's a lot of trolls out there, Mourinho as well. You know, we have a lot of matches we got to play, and, you know, we got to fight to the death. And I honestly think this is it's going to be a nervy race for top four.
Sir, it's United, so it's always going to be nervy. It's Ole. We know this team. They never do it the easy way. I like to think that it's going to be the best of the rest. That's going to be like our destiny for this season. You know, we could be better than everybody else other than Manchester City, who looked like the clear favorite. So you see them play against Tottenham. They just like barely even got into third gear, and they just smoked them. Smoked Spurs. And we just don't look like we have our shit together at the moment. You know, we're dropping points, giving it away, and we don't seem to be clicking the same way. So like you said, the matches get – they don't get easier. Are there any easy matches in the Premier League? Probably not, but we're going to have to turn things around quickly.
Brighton
play well. They're playing well, sir. They're a hard team to beat.
I know. Maupai doing the cry. That's all I remember from last season, sir.
And yeah, that's all I remember. Anyway, before we get into the PSA for the pod, sir, it's good to be back on the podcast. I know I missed the FA Cup breakdown. Big shout out to all the love and well wishes I got from the American Red Devil community. Much appreciated. My son's doing very well post-surgery, so I appreciate all the positive feelings we've gotten. Sir, let's head into that PSA for the pod. Tell people what's going on these days.
Sir, on behalf of all the American Devils, we're sending a bunch of love to you and your family. And it's great to hear surgery went well and your boy is recovering. But let's get into that PSA. If you want to support the American Red Devils, just me and Alex, give me that biased take from the couch, sir. You can hear it in our voices today. There's no hiding it. This is a tough one. This is a tough one to lose, but I'm glad that you're back. Pause not the same without you. And shout out to your brother Max for filling in. If you want to support this small-time operation, you can do so via Patreon. We don't have any sponsors, no private interest in the podcast. It's just two fans trying to create the best fan-driven content platform on the planet. And if you want to do so, we think Patreon is the best way because we don't want to be hawking anything on this pod. We want to be supported by you, the fans. You can check our Patreon page out, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. There's 4 tiers. You subscribe, we send you stickers, pins, scarves, shirts, etc. A great way to support the podcast. If you don't like Patreon, check out our store at AmericanRedDevils.com. While you're there, we also have some amazing fan-generated content. We also have that Glazers Out scarf on sale for $9.99, sir. We're going to get a lot of Glazers Out today. I got a lot of Glazers Out for you. Sir, tell them about the blog. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
Blog is absolutely ripping. We have great fan-generated content from all over the world. Check it out at www.AmericanRedDevils.com. If you're interested in contributing for the blog, reach out to us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We will figure something out. Another great way to support the podcast without spending any money at all is to write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's got some cheeky banner, even better. That's what this pod's all about. Send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail with your address, and we will get you some free Stanley Chow design stickers out to you. Lickety splits. Sir, what else we got?
Sir, that is it. Let's get into this match. West Brom 1, Manchester United 1 at the Hawthorns. That great away form I thought would save us. 24th game of the season. Let's get into that lineup. Dave saves, world number one in net. Luke Shaw left back. Maguire, Lindelof, the Iceman. Dude, the Iceman got slapped today. Sir, Wan-Bissaka got right back. The Fred McTom midfield, Martial, Fernandez in the hole, Rashford on the right, Cavani up top, sir.
What's not to like, you would think. I mean, the thing that called out to me was like, this is a team that you know is going to sit back. I didn't like the Fred McTominay midfield because, you know, we've seen such success with Bruno and Pogba playing together in the same 11. I think you have your next person up who's not Fred, and that's Donny van de Beek. So that's what I would like to see. Obviously, he went with this. It's the best 11, like you said when we talked about it earlier. But it's got to be good enough to beat West Bromwich Albion, doesn't it? Isn't it?
One note, best 11 is Rashford on the left and Greenwood on the right. Martial is in atrocious form at the minute. You hate to see it. I like Martial. I think he's got the juice, but he always needs a drop, sir. You know, he's streaky. He needs a drop. And also, not seeing Amad Diallo on the bench. I want to see Rashford on the left. You got Martial like for like. I want to see Greenwood on the right. I want to see Amad like for like. There's no point in not throwing him out there at this level. I mean, the right-hand side for Manchester United, it's something that, you know, hashtag Glazers out. Didn't sign Sancho, sir. We're trying to, you know, flex seal the hole here, you know, duct tape the hole. We're trying to do everything we can. Not good enough.
Not good enough, because other teams have strengthened. But either way, sir, it's the 11 that you got. And I think, you know, there's something to be said about freshening it up a little bit. But this is the 11 that we went for.
No, you can't argue. I'm not going to slate Ole for starting this team. This team beats West Brom. This team beats West Brom. You know, Rashford had a bad day. He had a bad day on the right. He had a bad day on the left. Fred has a trouble passing the ball. It's like, that's just the way it is. And, you know, I would argue Lindelof got fouled, but let's get into this shit match.
Sir, like you said, United started like shit. Didn't take long. And all we got is the Telemundo calls. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way. But in the second minute, it was ugly early.
Intenta nuevamente el conjunto del West Brom. El balón que va sobre la derecha. Centro que llega. Ah, se queda el gol.
West Brom, sir. Sorry, only have the Telemundo call this early right after the game. But
so you can't drop goal on us.
That's all I got. That's all I could find, sir. I gold on us because that goal we just got like Lindelof got. I mean, you coined it years ago, sir. Linda Soft. That was like he looked soft all day against their striker, just absolutely manhandling the box for a headed goal early. How bad are we in the first 5 minutes of games?
Sir, I can't believe you just played a Telemundo call against Manchester United on the pod.
Back of the bunker, baby. That's what I do. Keeping it hot.
I'm speechless. I'm without speech here. Like, look, that's a foul. I mean, sir, it's hard to – the ref, Paulson, was all over like, as far as what he called a foul, what he didn't call a foul. So much inconsistency here. I'm whinging about the ref in the second minute. I think this stands, honestly, as a fan of the game, like – Lindelof, toughen up, Buttercup. Let's go. I mean, like, you're called the Iceman. Have you seen Top Gun? Do you know what your nickname is based on? It's like, you know, let's go to the gym a little bit, buddy. Let's lift a little weights. Come on. Have you seen the volleyball scene in Top Gun? Let's go, Lindelof. Let's go.
Thicken up, bro, because that's not good enough. Sir, if that's a goal, then the Maguire goal against Sheffield United is a goal. It's just like the officiating in this league is so up and down. Every game is not the same level. And this, you know, sir, we're going to sound like Scouse fans. We didn't play well enough, but the ref certainly did not help United at all.
That's a goal. But you're right. I would rather argue that Sheffield United we got robbed. But this one, yeah, Sheffield United was definitely soft. This one was a goal. I'll give it to him. I'm not going to whinge about that too much.
And it wasn't much better from United, sir. Like, usually you take one of these goals for us to wake up. You know, 27th minute, De Gea was actually forced into a decent save, tips it over to the bar. I think at this point you are tweeting wake up gifts, wake up, wake up, wake up. And then it wasn't until 36th minute, good chance for Cavani. He actually had McTominay on the other side of the box wide open and gets the pass wrong. He had a couple touches today, weren't quite right. Nobody looked their self.
No, and I'll tell you, for all the American Red Devil fans, you know, when I go to my Twitter and I look at frequently used GIFs, the ranking is number one is wake up, wake up, wake up. Number two is the heart attack. And number three is Rashford celebrating a goal. So I like the I think they're just keeping track of how many times I tweet each of them out. That sums up our season. And the fact we're in second with that priority is amazing.
Well, so the man that, you know, should be third behind the wake up and the heart attack is this man in the 44th minute, sir. Worthy of the Telemundo call, Bruno Fernandes, our Magnifico.
Si pegado al área. Maguire, el pase para Shaw que puede sacar el centro. Ahí viene el centro, lo va a buscar Cavani. Fernández, gol. Manchester United lo hizo Bruno Fernandes con una volea impresionante de su
or where would we be without Bruno Fernandes? Talking about a top four race, we'd be looking up instead of looking down if we hadn't signed this man. And I think there's a very, very high likelihood that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would have been shit-canned by now. But what a player he has been for this club.
So we're going to call Bruno. His new nickname is going to be the Sherpa, sir. He's like putting every United player on his back, carrying up the goddamn mountain, bro. I mean, this guy takes something out of nothing. Brilliance from Bruno. If anyone did half their job as good as him, it'd be 3-1, 4-1. It's just like, sir, the Rashford's trying to stand three people up, losing the ball. I hate to talk about Rashford, but it's like he needs a drop. Like Cavani looked off it today, you know. And the thing is, we're overusing these players. It's unprecedented season. You have to talk about it. The lack of reinforcements, so many matches, and they can't get a break. Because I honestly think with Rashford and Martial, if they were able to get rest, if Ole was able to give them a drop, take some pressure off, it would go a long way for them. Because Rashford has hit this slide, and you see it. You just know. He has a rut, and he needs a drop. Martial needs a drop, and they're undroppable at the moment. And so we're kind of seeing that you have to use them no matter what.
So we're thin, you know, no doubt. But a lot of teams have been dealing with a lot of injuries. And the thing is, you got to just fucking make do, and you got to like pick team you got. That's where you got it. The emphasis has to be on Ole a little bit. You got players in that team that you have to lean on, even if they're not Sancho. It's like you got to play Dan James, Donny van de Beek, Matic. You just need to freshen things up a bit because there's so many matches, sir, heading into halftime. That's what I was thinking. It was like, you have to see that a sub has to be made here. Like that midfield was not working. And like he's been reluctant to make those halftime subs that Fergie used to do all the time. You just like, oh, that shit did not go right. Make a sub, switch it up. We have to switch it up. Force the impetus.
No, you're totally right. And what we're seeing is, you know, Solskjaer is trying to put the round peg in the square hole. He's been figured out. United has been figured out for sure. And like basically in the final third, you pack it in narrow. You give them the width. They got nothing to do with it, right? And you counterattack them because you know their center backs are shaky. They're going to be outnumbered. Their positioning's off. You're going to have a go. West Brom arguably could have won in the second half. And that's what you're seeing is like Sheffield United did it. It worked so great. They beat us. And then everyone has kind of been taking a page out of that playbook. And until you demolish that playbook with rotation or it's a little bit of game theory here. Big Sam just set up the same way. He says, you guys have yet to be able to beat this and we can't again. So Ole almost has to put out like so many attackers. It's insane to be able to break this team down in anticipation that Big Sam's going to do that. I think Ole's kind of just doing the same thing and he's got to start, you know, evolving a little bit while we talk about on the job.
No, I mean, so we're getting into it in halftime, but he can't play a counterattack team against a team that's just set up to defend. And we're seeing that. It's like McTominay and Fred are great because they can turn the ball over and then we can attack in transition. But if you have 75% of the ball, you need to be able to pass the ball. Exactly. Where is Mohan Mata? Where is Donny van de Beek? Fred, I mean, Fred is, you said it today, he's great off the ball. He's not good on the ball. He just like, he can't slip in those passes the same way even a Matic can. So it's sort of halftime.
Fred McTominay. But you need to have Mata on the right, right? And then you probably play Donny and then you play Mata and then you're really just playing like, you know, Matic. You're playing like a back five with Matic in the middle or, you know, back three with Matic in the middle of the two center backs. The wings go up and Donny and Mata are in the attack. And that's like pretty much how you're playing for 75% of the game. And I think Ole just needs to see it, you know, his idea of putting out the best 11 and winning, I agree with. But really the criticism for Ole is at halftime, you knew what we're talking about. Right, you knew what you had to do, and always trying to keep steady the ship, which is what he's good at. But you need a little bit of gumption here to make that move, like you said, that halftime sub to bring on Donny or bring on Mata and just add to the attack because we're going to need to break him down. And I think he was wary it was 1-1, and you only need one to do it. And Cavani, header, you know, something. I think, you know, hindsight's 20/20 here for us fans.
No doubt, but we've seen the movie before, sir, and he didn't play well enough in the first half. Second half, a little bit better, but just not quick enough. 49th minute, Rashford actually put a great ball in, but nobody is the end of it. That was kind of a little bit of the story of the day. There were some good moments, but people weren't moving enough. 63rd minute, sir, United with a penalty shot from Maguire, trip. Psych, VAR overturns it. Working the call stay. It was a little soft. Then they looked like it might have ruled it offside, but either way, we weren't getting the penalty. It wasn't our day.
I'll tell you what. We prayed to the VAR gods, but even this is beyond their control, sir. This one was... What is the deal with Harry Maguire diving? like going forward and diving going back. He's the biggest player on the pitch. I've never seen anyone fall as soft as him late in games and like it not get called. Like, sir, it's like kind of scary how easy he goes down. It's like he's got to get that out of his game. He's a center back, for Christ's sake. It's just like,
I mean,
try to score that goal. Don't go down. Try to score.
Like he almost did at the very end of the game, right? When you stay on your feet. I mean, he did get pulled down, to be fair. And it's a lot worse when he does defensively. Like we'll talk about it in a little bit, sir. Which is atrocious, right? One thing when you're trying to score a goal. One thing when you're trying
to... Everton, it's a habit.
It is.
Three times it's a habit, you know?
But they are fouls. I mean, you have to be fair. That Everton one was a foul. Today was a foul.
It's like, dude. It's like he goes down easy. That's all I'm saying. Whether it's a foul or not, he's going down easy. And my center back, the captain of United, shouldn't be going down easy. That's
especially when you're last man saloon, sir. Your last man down can't be going down. Anyway, 66th minute. Finally get a sub. Greenwood comes on for the ineffective Martial. And then looked a little better right after that, 69th minute. United had stopped twice in quick action. First with Johnston on a good save on Greenwood. Then the defender clears McTominay shot off the line. A little bit better, sir, from United.
This was the chance. But like you said, when we were watching the game, not enough chances. You know, it's like, this is a clear cut chance. Probably should have scored. Greenwood should have scored. McTominay might've had it when those great hits from outside the box, but you should be seeing this like 8-9 times in the second half. If we're doing it right, if the team is that like everyone's behind it and it's almost like we kind of looked a little lackluster. You know,
a little lackluster and I think a little gun shy, you know, because that 66th minute, it was not going for us. You don't make one sub. You make multiple subs. It's like it wasn't working because, sir, it wasn't much better. 76th minute, United caught out. West Brom breaks 2-on-1. But Maitland-Niles made the wrong pass, sir. You said, like, we're playing a bad team to make that pass looking like Arsenal.
This pass was so bad. And here's the deal. Big Sam. Pack it in. You're going to get this chance. 2v1. What's going on? It's like United. It's so shaky.
And then how much better? 78th minute. Talk about Maguire going down soft. Awful. He gets fouled. I mean, it was a foul, but he went down light again. And De Gea actually came up with two big saves. To me, this was the ref having a howler, but it was not good because he's the last man saloon. You can't be going down like that. You can't be. I know it's a foul, but still. It's like sometimes they don't get called, and then it's a goal, and then you're fucked.
Sir, the only people who care about getting fouled, the only people who get any gifts from fouls are like forwards in the box. Defenders in their own box don't get these calls. Maybe in 10 years this is a thing, but it's not a thing. Harry, you don't go down when you're the last man. He did it against Everton, almost cost us more than the 1 point that we got from there. He did it again here. Stop going down easy. I know it's a foul, but defenders aren't getting the benefit of the doubt via VAR right now, and I have no idea what he's doing. He can totally stand on his feet, and he goes down too easy. Even though he's getting fouled, you know, Ty goes to the forward here, and Maguire out of his depth, but De Gea coming up huge. That's something we got to talk about. Dave saves. This is big. This is big. West Brom. Was it two chances from here? Double save from De Gea. This could have gone in. He steps up big, and this could be a big point for us in the race for top four.
The race for top four, so that doesn't sound quite as good. Just a point about the Maguire like soft go down is you also have to read the game. It's like you weren't getting a call from this ref all fucking day. You weren't going to get that call either. So it's just like he didn't give you the break at the end of the first half. He didn't give you nothing. So you're not going to get this either. So just like be smart. You got to show that IQ. You're not quick. You got to have like high IQ, which he has shown at times. That wasn't good enough. Anyway,
so I like Harry. He's got everything to be the United captain. I mean, a lot of people are going to moan about that. Obviously, I think Bruno should be the United captain, but he has everything. He just doesn't have, dude. He doesn't have the mentality in Bruno's pinky finger, bro. I mean, looked like he did the post-match interview. He looked like he was going to cry. He's like flopping all over the ground when he hit the post with that header. Like, you know, it's like, come on, man. It's just like he just looks soft upstairs, sir. And when he's doing all this diving, it's a bad look. And Harry's just someone's got to just like slap that slab head and just be like, yo, man, you're like a beast. Like, get it together. Like, start murking fools. Start fouling them, you know? Harry's got to have like a better mentality. Looks a little soft, sir. Sheffield United, you know.
So this whole team looks soft. I mean, he's a microcosm of United overall. He's a captain, but he's other than fucking Bruno, it's like, who we got that ain't, it's not hard as a, I mean, he's the hardest player we got. If we had 11 of him, we'd be points clear of City. But Rashford looks
Perry.
Soft.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but the whole team has, the mentality is just not there.
You're as big as the Titanic, and you're falling down like Mohamed Salah. It's like, what are you doing, dude? It's just like, come on, start bossing, fool. Start standing over him, dude. Like, mean mugging. That's what I need from you.
Dude, Lindelof didn't win a header in the first half. It's like, he got bossed all. He's just like, we got to be mean. We're not mean enough.
Yes.
Not nearly mean enough. United teams used to be so fucking mean. That's how you win. Like, even West Brom were meaner than we were today. They were, like, getting in those 50-50 balls. Anyway, so Rick had gone all day. We're not going to finish this game. 80th minute. Finally get a sub. This should have come 30. It should have come at halftime. But Donny Van de Beek comes on for Fred. Fred, that was poor. Very poor. Okay, 86th minute. United actually had a decent opportunity. Didn't make anything of it. Free kick opportunity for Bruno. Cross went nowhere. 88th minute. United looking shaky in the back. Diagne misses a sitter. Basically win the game. 90th minute. Greenwood flashes a great ball in. Once again, nobody was there. We had a couple good, really good balls across goal. As you got to see Cavani. As you got to see a Martial. Wasn't even in there. Or Rashford at this point. And then, sir,
how many giveaways did Rashford have from the 80th minute on, with three defenders on him doing nothing? I mean, look, I love Marcus Rashford. He's untouchable pretty much, but there's been something. His game went from like running at people and trying to shoot to a lot of just like fainting and you know, like something like, you know, I'm concerned when I see that from Marcus.
It's so am I, because it's, you know, it's represents a little bit of what the whole team's trying to do. It's like a little bit of always relying on individual brilliance instead of team brilliance. You got to play well as a team. It's too slow. Everyone's standing around. He gets the ball. He gave the ball away a lot today, and it wasn't good enough, but it wasn't good enough from the whole squad. So 95th minute, Maguire forces Johnston into great save. You have to say this is a good, great header from Maguire. Would have loved to see the goal, a winner, but that's it. 1-1. Every United fan gutted, because the realization is that title ain't happening in 21, bro.
Maguire having a temper tantrum after that one. That was a little weird. I've never seen that. Hits the post and he's like flopped on the ground, starts slamming the turf. I mean, I get he wants it, but it's like, you know, it's like you got to have some. Maguire's got to toughen up, man. This team needs to toughen up. This team needs to understand that when you go down the Hawthorns, it's a cold, rainy day against West Brom, you gotta like show up, you gotta be mean, you gotta slap them around the pitch, and you might only win by a goal. You know, there ain't no cruising in this league, and there ain't no passengers on this team. And I think the captain, who should be Bruno Fernandes, should be, you know, slapping a few people in the locker room and getting them to turn it around. Otherwise, they gotta get the drop. And I think it's the more that Ole leaves it, the more it's going to be in Bruno's hands or somebody, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, the more Ole's kind of just letting it lie, the more people like Bruno really need to kind of grab this team by the scuff of the neck and lead them forward, because we need a leader right now. And I think Bruno's the man, and he should be the captain.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that would help. He's doing everything he can. Captain's armband, maybe that will make an impetus. But either way, it's like this team needs something, and we need a spark. Today we had it, but we just played like crap. Team performance, that's the game, sir. 1-1, points dropped. And it just feels like we need some magic from somewhere. We gotta go to Europa League to get it. It's our cold Thursday night. You have a Hawthorns cold. How about a Thursday night football, bro?
I'll tell you what. I thought this draw was bad enough, and then you said Europa League after the match, and I was just like, uh-oh. Let's jump into the stats here. 72% from United. 28% to West Brom. We've seen this movie before, sir. You play to win the game. Six shots on target, three from West Brom. I would argue they had some of the better chances as well. Tough match all around. Manchester United have won just one of their last five Premier League games. Woohoo! Their 9-0 hammering of Southampton at Old Trafford. And again, that was against 10 men. Sir, we are on the slide. Men. To the downside, unfortunately. And Bruno Fernandes has been directly involved in 38 Premier League goals and 38 Premier League appearances for Manchester United. 22 goals, 16 assists, sir. Probably player of the year if he can keep it up. In Premier League history, the only player with more goal involvements in his first 38 games is Andrew Cole, 46, in 1993-94 for Newcastle, sir. We remember that time very well. West Brom's goal was scored just after 83 seconds by Mbaye Diagne, the earliest conceded by Manchester United in a Premier League game since Christian Eriksen's 11-second strike for Spurs in January 2018.
Remember that one? You remember that one?
So I forget that one.
Jose. I remember the Jose. Just don't miss that.
Sir, if there was any instruction for this United team, and I think it's also like what's crazy is, you know, I haven't even looked at social media, but I'm sure everyone's really pissed. I'm sure everyone's pissed off. Is that it's like we literally could be in a title race, and instead we basically can't fix these bad habits. The conceding early, it's like RB Leipzig. It's like we knew not to concede early then, we knew not to concede early now, and we continue to do these bad habits. I think that's why it's so salty. You know, it's to lose this way. To tie this way and to play this way, it's tough, sir. It's tough as a fan when, you know, United might go 1-0 up, you know, et cetera, but just always give up an early goal. It's just like you're always battling back. I mean, it's every match seems like it's the same.
Sir, we've seen this movie before and we hate the reviews. We don't want to see it again. It's the same thing over and over. It's always cheap goals. The team can put it together, not for 90 minutes, but it's just, you know, it's a lack of consistency, the lack of mentality. The mentality to press on week in, week out. At the end of the day, it's just like that lack of reinforcement. You know, we're gonna have to call it out just because the excuse machine's got to work overtime, sir, with these results. But it's true. Glazers out, bro. Get that 999 scarf.
It's not an excuse machine. It's one excuse machine of many excuse machines in the excuse factory that's working overtime.
I got that factory, baby.
This stat sums it all up right here. Manchester United have recovered 22 points from losing positions in the Premier League this season, 10 more than any team. I think I said it. You could rewind the tape. I said, we can't keep this up. Eventually, we're not going to be able to come back. Eventually, this terrible defending is going to bite us in the ass. And lo and behold, we are seeing that. Because everything regresses to the mean. Manchester United have beaten in all 12 away Premier League matches this season. We've won 8, drawn 4. Only the fourth time a team has avoided defeat in the first 12 away Premier League games of a season. Arsenal did it in 01, 02, and 03, 04. And a team that should not be named did it in 1920. All of whom went on to win the title. What a shame. And Manchester United left back Luke Shaw registered his 5th Premier League assist of the season. The most he's ever managed in a single season. Shout out. The impossible meat pie. Luke Shaw has been playing great. In fact, Shaw only had 7 assists in the 156 Premier League appearances before this campaign. Sir, shout out to Luke Shaw.
Luke's playing great football. Need more of that great football, sir. I want to make one additional Glazer out comment. I'm thinking about it. If the Glazer family had foregone the 2 dividends that they took during a pandemic, we could buy a center. We could have bought a center back when we were like pushing for the league this year. That's everything you need to know, sir. Everything, the fact that we didn't strengthen in January, we cannot beat that drum enough.
No, there's no excuse. Our owners have lost the plot and it's a crime. Like, I think the best thing is, I understand if you're just like trying to get top 4, like I can understand if the owners are trying to get top 4. But when you look at this team and you see, okay, wow, we like underinvested and they're overperforming and then you don't back them in January. That is a crime. That's a crime. If you're Manchester fucking United, sir. It's just like, you know, because you knew we were going to need it. It's 38 games. You can get streaky, but you're going to need it when things go wrong. You're going to need Sancho. You're going to need Haaland, sir. We're going to need these types of players. But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, sir.
Of course it is. It's something that we knew was going to happen. If they got the kickoff, they'll put the ball forward, get a few throw-ins, put you under pressure. We wanted to clear our lines, but we couldn't. It was actually only one moment that we could have. And they put a good cross in, and the boy finished it well.
Did you feel like Lindelof was fouled at all for that?
As an ex-striker, I would say that's a goal. But if we go back a couple of months, we had a similar, or not similar even, Harry goes on top of a defender, scores a goal, clearly no foul, and that was taken away from us. So where's the consistency? I don't think there is any. So that's, I think, every one of us want just clarity and consistency. It's not about... I'm not saying that's a foul.
There you go. It's Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. A little chippy. I think he should be more disappointed than the boys today. But he's not wrong. We made the point earlier, sir. It's like there is no consistency in the Premier League as it comes to officiating. The amount of up and down between game to game is kind of insane. But it is what it is.
I think the referee said that. I think the report from that foul that Harry was at Sheffield. Correct, somebody tweet us on that one.
No, yeah, it was.
They did say that that was the wrong call. So they did admit that. And again, the tie goes to the forward there. So the idea that Harry's going to go down soft or, you know, Lindelof's going to get that foul, it's like center backs need to be tough. Like I said, Lindelof, Top Gun, watch it. Volleyball scene, hit the gym. Hit the gym, Lindelof. That's all I got to say. So let's check in with the table. Man Shitty, number one, 53 points, sir. Last five, their form. All green check marks. They've won them all, sir. Number two, Manchester United, 46 points, sir. Goals against, 31. The only other team in the top 10 with more is Leeds United at 38, sir. And, you know, that's bad.
And that's the Scousers, 32.
Yeah, the Scousers have one more. So they have Leicester City, 46 points. Scouse, Bastards, 40, Chelsea scum, 39, West Ham, 39, Everton, 37, Aston Villa, 36, Tottenham, 36, Leeds, 32, Arsenal, 31, the Arsenal we showed a lot of respect and we drew. You know, it's those games, dude. Yeah, sir.
It's the same story we've been saying it for 6 months. It's like easy points given away, lack of consistency, lack of mentality, not tough enough. Maybe not enough rotation from the manager, not enough subs proactively from the manager. It's just like we've heard this all before. Feels like we're beating that dead horse, sir. Keep beating it.
We are. You know, the one thing you got to look at is the form. Timo Schnappi name lost the last three L's, sir. It could be worse. Let's remember that. We drew 2-1-1 last three. Chelsea won last three. Since Tuchel has come in, they're the ones to watch. So you look at the battle for top four right now, Leicester, Chelsea. If Timo Schnappi name turned it around, they're all in the mix. They're all in the mix. And when you look at, we got some big games. I pulled up our schedule, sir. No easy match in the league. You know, we have we got one. We got one coming up.
It's next week. It won't be easy because it's never easy, baby.
No, yeah, but you know, you look at West Brom, Newcastle. You're like win. You got Chelsea, Man City. Now you need to win one of those. Then you got West Ham, Brighton, Tottenham, Burnley, Leeds, Timo Schnappi name, Villa, and Leicester. Sir, it's going to be an up and down, bumpy ride with Ole at the wheel towards the end of the season. I think we're odds on to make top four. But if this slide continues, if we can't get Newcastle done, I'm going to be worried. Newcastle's that's a big 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, today was a big 3 points to drop. It's, you know, it's quickly going from like just trying to keep up with City and be the best of the rest to top four. If we drop points against Newcastle, then it's a full on top four race. But either way, dude, they're all hard games.
The Chelsea match is huge for
the City match is huge. I mean, the Chelsea. We're all about 21, and the whole thing was like you're gonna have to go to City, try and tighten it, and then beat them at their house. Maybe, but we got to start with a Newcastle win, beating Chelsea. Nope. We need some big wins.
Knowing Manchester United will like draw Newcastle, beat Chelsea, beat City, draw West Ham, or like lose to West Ham. We've seen it before. Nothing would surprise me, but I just wanted to comment on that. You know, quite the run of fixtures. And, you know, always got to stop the slide. We really got to stop the slide, sir. All right, we got a next match. Let's kick it off with this Europa League theme music. We'll be right back.
lounge, bro. We lounge music, nigga.
Wait for it, sir. It's about to drop. Beast is about to drop.
It's not quite as angelic as the Champions League, sir.
Sir, it's like your it's the Champions League's Eastern European brother-in-law who thinks he's a DJ who's unemployed. You know, that's kind of how it sounds. It sounds, you know, as Champions League music, like, almost brings a tear to your eye. This Europa League theme really sums up the two different competitions and our feeling towards them.
Sorry, I hate to say it. It's like it makes you think that there's a difference between the competitions. One's an elite best of Europe. And one's basically everybody else. This
kind
song
is anxiety. Like, it kind of gives me anxiety. It's like, just drop the beat.
What like, beat? There's a beat. It's like bad lounge music, sir.
What's the point? Like, if somebody came and played this music for you, you'd be like, this is awful. This is terrible. Like, who decided that this should be?
No, it's like, obviously, like, whoever's in charge of Europa League. Like, yeah, like, somebody's cousin is a DJ. It was like, oh, yeah, I got a perfect intro for you. This is not an intro.
Yeah, Hans. My friend Hans, he'll put together a great thing. Be a banger, sir.
Europa League.
All right, we got a next match. Manchester United versus Real Sociedad. We control this theme all day.
Some of that.
We're playing Juventus Stadium Thursday, February 18th, 9:55 a.m. Pacific, sir. Keeping you honest here, 12:55 p.m. Eastern. Real Sociedad, I think they're, what are they, fifth in La Liga?
Correct.
Doing pretty good. They were doing better earlier this year. Lifetime versus Real Sociedad against Manchester United. We've won one. We've drawn one. We played them in October 2013 in the Champions League. We beat them 1-0, and then we drew 0-0. Sir, I do not remember that. That was David Moyes, right?
David Moyes' Red Army, sir. You know, I think that was before we matched up with Bayern the next round.
Yes.
We know
yes.
That went.
Real Sociedad, they are a little bit of a skid right now. They drew Real Betis in the Copa, in the Liga, and then they lost in the Copa del Rey. They drew Villarreal. They beat Cadiz. They beat Getafe. So kind of bouncing around. They started really hot. They're kind of cooling off. They're playing us. We can't go to Spain because of coronavirus. We're going to a neutral venue. So there might be an advantage there. Sir, how are you feeling about this game? Is this the bounce back we need, Real Sociedad? Or are you a little worried here? Spaniards are tricky. They're tricky, sir. We play them. You know, you think it's just another game. And then you're like, this is a whole different ball game. Different refs, different flopping, different clowns on the pitch, sir. We play the Spaniards many times. You know, it gets a little
We know it's going to be. They are who we thought they are. We're going to be playing that on Thursday night, sir. After we're not playing that intro music ever again. But they're a tough team. You know, the skid, like you said, but it's a totally different animal than playing West Brom away. There's something to be said. We're traveling. We're not going to San Sebastian. Great place to go to. All the traveling Reds would have enjoyed that, but because of COVID, like you mentioned, it's going to be in Turin. That's got to be some advantage. They're not playing at their home stadium, but either way, sir, it's going to be a tough match. Spaniards are always tricky, especially you got the UEFA second tier refs. You got the Europa League refs, sir. It's going to be like full of mischief. Can't wait for that. But it is a good time to turn the skid around. It's a good time for Ole to like, yo, you got to switch it up. You got to mix it up a little bit. And I think it'd be a good opportunity to rest some players as well, because I know everybody wants to win everything this year, but I think the focus should still be on the league, maybe in the FA Cup. But Real Sociedad, I think we got to freshen legs.
No, absolutely. We got to freshen legs. We got a Thursday, Sunday to Newcastle as well. So that you got to think about that tight turnaround. Probably the worst part about Europa League are those tight turnarounds and then the travel as well. So, sir, I didn't think we'd be playing Europa League this year. Here we are. Love that music. Love that theme music. That's going to be added to my playlist after this podcast for sure. A little history. Real Sociedad del Football, a.k.a. SAD, or SAD, are most commonly referred to as Real Sociedad. They are nicknamed La Real, and that is it basically translates the Royal, sir. They're a Spanish professional sports club in the city of San Sebastian in Basque Country, Spain. Sir, you know, they don't make them like they do in Basque Country.
So they're hard. Hard in Basque country. A little bit Ander Herrera. He's a Basque lad. Great town. Great grub. So they're going to be tough team to play against. They're going to be tricky, and they're going to be, you know, all the Spanish tricks, the La Liga tricks. There are lots of diving, flopping, all the rest. Can't wait.
Football was introduced into the area in the early 1900s as students returned from school in Britain, and they founded sports teams. Real Sociedad was founded shortly after that. In 1909, they play their home matches at the Anoneta Stadium. We will not be going there, obviously, like we mentioned before. Real Sociedad, they have some history, so they won La Liga 80, 81, 81, 82. They last finished runner-up 02, 03. The club also won the Copa del Rey twice, 09 and 87. It contests the Basque Derby with rivals Atletico Bilbao. You mentioned Ander Herrera. Real Sociedad was also a founding member of La Liga in 1929. So established history. They're one of the top teams in La Liga. Traditionally, the club followed a policy similar to its rival of Athletic Bilbao, where they only would play Basque players. You know, you talk about the regions in Spain. If you've been to Spain, you travel there, you watch football there, you obviously know Catalonia, Barcelona, et cetera, you know, sort of the regional biases as far as the teams. Amazingly, they've had two famous academy players. They've kind of loosened up. Obviously, they don't sign only Basque players anymore. Bad for business. Their first signing ever. This is a great trivia question. They signed Republic of Ireland forward John Aldridge in 1989. The first non-Basque player ever to play for them was 89. Since then, they've had famous academy players that include Xabi Alonso and Antoine Griezmann, both World Cup winners. I had no idea they both came from the Real Sociedad Academy. And the club has competed in the UEFA Champions League twice, 03, 04, and when they played us in what's 13-14, and they progressed to the round of 16 before losing to Lyon 03, 04. That was their best finish. So they have experience in Champions League, more so in Europa League. So that's kind of their sweet spot. They make them hard in Basque country. I think this could be a tough match. Like you said, I think it's going to be cheeky.
It's going to be cheeky for sure. You know it. If it's ever a European night, whether it's Champions League or Europa League, it's always cheeky, especially with this, you know, La Liga opponent. They're probably a well-trained side, technically, you know, strong, high work rate. So it's a good time to turn around the skid. We need a good performance. We need to, like, freshen things up and get a big win. And really, we need to perform well, play well. We haven't had enough of that since the Southampton match. So nobody wants Europa League glory, but we do need a result, and it's a great time for a result. Thursday night, sir. I love Thursday night football.
All right, jumping to the physio room. Injuries: Paul Pogba, hopefully out till end of Feb, early March. Phil Jones cashing those checks, sir. That's a good part for United. Not a lot of injuries, so not a lot of excuses. You know, the excuse factory can't come up there. What is your lineup for Real Sociedad?
So I'm going to freshen things up. This is who I've got. I've got Dino in net. I've got Brandon Williams at right back, Twanzebe, Maguire, and Telles. I'm going to do a midfield of Matic, Donny van de Beek, and Juan Mata. I'm going to do Dan James on the left, Martial up front, and Diallo on the right. Ahmad. Time to start Ahmad.
I like Mata in there. Get Mata. Like, what can Mata do to get a game? You know? That's a weird one. That's a weird one. Why haven't Mata played more?
I have no idea. He could have featured
that's
today.
That's a question for Ole. That would be like, instead of these softballs, I'd be like, where's Mata? Day-Say's role number one, undroppable, sir. How dare you drop him?
He looks pretty droppable to me.
He played well today. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Baye, Maguire, Shaw, sir. Baye, where you at? That's what I need. I need Baye. I need grit at the back, sir. I need to be scaring these Spaniards with some spicy challenges from Eric Baye. Donny van de Beek, McTominay, midfield. You need van de Beek pulling the strings with Bruno. I think watching Fred for those two games, sir, you need a playmaker, deep-lying playmaker. We miss Pogba because Fred just ain't getting it done. And I think Fred can do it. I just think he needs a break. Bruno at number 10, Rashford, Cavani, Greenwood on the right. I think those front three, you got to stick with Rashford. You got to drop Martial. Cavani's undroppable at the moment. But like you said, he did look off. But this is the team to do it. Always going to play a strong 11. I think we got to win. Booking the bookies here. Manchester United to win plus 220. To draw plus 250. Real Sociedad to win plus 115, sir. If you've been betting the draw lately with United, you're hitting money, winning good cash. Given those are the odds, you got your lineup. What is your score prediction for this match, sir?
So I'm calling a 1-0 victory. Somehow United comes up with a clean sheet. It's probably Eric Bailly. You call him that. He starts. I think Juan Mata is our goal scorer. I could see him either, you know, open play or penalty, him getting the goal.
Sir, if Bruno's on that pitch, he ain't taking that penalty.
Well, I have him on the bench getting some rest.
Oh, that's true. That's true. How dare you?
He needs it. He needs it.
Score predictions. You know we're biased here, American Red Devils. We only predict wins.
That's how we do.
Manchester United would be 50-0, winning every trophy possible if our score predictions are correct. So do not take these into account when betting on Manchester United. Sir, I think it's going to be 1-1. You know, I think it's going to be a draw. You know, draws are not bad in these types of ties. If Ole's playing like Sir Alex, defense counter. I think you're going to see something like that. We're not going to go at him. We're not going to try to win. We're going to play cautious, careful. That's probably what you should do. All right, so let's jump into it. You got the best news here at the American Red Devils, grabbing the most tasty headlines we can, trying to get Alex a little hot in the bunker, sir. Sometimes
spice your me up. Are... Wind me up. Let's do it, John.
Solskjaer will not seek out help from Manchester United legend Sir Alex Ferguson, sir. In a recent interview, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says, quote, "I've probably been influenced by Sir Alex by the 15 years I worked with him, of course, but we're different personalities. I imagine the way I think is the right way. I don't ask anyone how I should manage. It's probably just in my personality. I loved working and playing under the gaffer. I learned a lot from him, obviously. But it's been a while since we had a conversation, and I've not asked him how I should play this one or that one. It's been gradual since I came to Manchester United. I've grown into becoming this person. It's not been consciously something I've done. I'm just being myself, sir." What about managers at Manchester United don't want to talk to the greatest manager ever at Manchester United? Like, David Moyes came in, fired the whole staff, decided to do it his own way. Every single manager since then has done it. And it's like, if I was there, I'd literally have him on the text thread on the bench, bro.
Well, it's not sustainable long term. I agree. He's, you know, to be fair, Solskjaer has been the most open arms about United Way in general and being an open ear to Fergie, because I think it's just a little clickbaity on Goal. They're a dog shit publication, let's be honest. I think they're trying to make the most of this, right? Like, oh, he never talks to him. But I've heard months ago that he was talking to Fergie. I think it's just the way this was kind of aired. But I would go towards, you should be talking to him often. Maybe not texting him on the bench, but they should be talking often, because he's going to have to do this slow and slow. No, I know, but this is like,
This is his quote. He says, "I don't ask." Like, I think that he should be like, "Yeah, I talk to him, but I do it my own way, you know, like best of both, right?" But to say, like, "I don't ask him at all," it's like, you know, Sir Alex isn't right about everything, but you should, like, ask the guy.
You should ask the guy, because he's going to have to do it the hard way, the low and slow way, not necessarily with 100% back in fat cash wad. And that part is like, you got to rotate. You got to freshen things up. You know, I think he can learn a little bit from that. Man management always seems to be solid on that as well. But he has to be a little bit hard. I think, like, the Fred non-sub, like, you can tell Fred is sensitive and he doesn't want to, like, hurt his confidence. And, like, but Fergie would have just, like, halftime, you pull him off. Like, you knew it. Yeah. It's just like, you got to be a little bit more cold-blooded with these players. I know everyone's gotten softer, but that's part of the mentality. It's like, we need to be a little bit harder. You have to be a little bit harder on the players in terms of just, like, subbing them out. You don't have to say and slate them the way that Jose used to in the press, but I think you just do it with your substitutions and your 11s, right? You just say, "Hey, that wasn't good enough." Or you watch that West Ham game and how they set up. West Brom did the same thing, and Fred was ineffectual in both, right? So it's like, you got to see that.
Totally, and I think you're right. Like, the criticism of Ole and the subs, and he's like, he's such a player's manager. That he thinks so much as a player, and about, like, the sub, and, you know, about all these things, because he wants to keep the players protected, which is totally different than Sir Alex, who'd be, like, probably a little harsher. But he could learn a little bit from that, you know, and be like, "I think you need to be changing more. I think you need to be thinking ahead. I think you need to, like, anticipate people Like, after West Ham, you have to anticipate Fred isn't going to just turn it around. You know, I think that type of – the level of chess – obviously, Sirax was always playing 4D chess. The game has changed a bit, but Ole could take a few nuggets from him. And obviously, this is just clickbait. But, you know, I do think there are some themes where Ole might be a little stubborn, sir. Might be a little stubborn sticking to his ways, and he should be thinking a little more like the greatest manager of all time in the history of sport. The greatest football club in the world.
Oh, and again and again, sir, you're absolutely right. And part of it's like maybe he just hasn't had a chance to take a look back and be like, what have I done wrong this season? Because there's not been a 1 second to stop, right? We haven't had ability to go on like normal warm weather training in Dubai like they usually do every year, or even have a summer training. But always got to look back and be like, what did I do wrong? Be like, I'm a little soft on those subs. Got to do a little earlier. Like, we've seen that in games before. And today was a great example. It was not going right in the first half. And he waited way too long until make changes up in the second half. And he's done that before. And it's something you can fix. But he's got to recognize that, you know, changes got to be made.
But, you know, one more tangent topic. It's like when you used to watch Manchester United and Sir Alex Ferguson, he put out an 11 and you were just like, what? You know, he put out an 11, your reaction was just like, what? And then they go win by 3 goals, and you'd be like, well, I guess he knows what he's doing. And with Ole, you can predict the 11. You know, I knew West Brom would be our strongest 11, and Fred McTominay midfield. So it's like, and if I can predict it, Big Sam can predict it. So part of it is like, you know, throwing curveballs every once in a while. Not every time, but every once in a while. And Sir Alex just knew how to do that, like absolute masterclass. Next article here, Gary Neville insists Ole Gunnar Solskjaer must deal with Manchester United's goalkeeper situation amid pileup of De Gea errors. He went on the Webby O'Neill pod, and he started dropping some knowledge, sir. Quotes from Gary Neville, who I usually agree with, quote, the mistakes are coming in more regularly and they cost points, and the game-winning saves and one-on-one saves are becoming less. If Pep Guardiola or Klopp came into Manchester United in 6 months' time, they would bring in a new goalkeeper. That might be tough on Hendo, but you got to chance it. Do you gamble with winning the league? That's the first question. Is the keeper right? That's the number one. That's the number one position to deal with, sir. We've seen other managers go into clubs, completely change the goalkeeper situation. We have a great backup in Hendo. He's saying we need another keeper and to bounce De Gea. I thought this was pretty radical from Gary Neville. He usually doesn't go this route.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go full. I mean, there's very likely that we got to bounce De Gea. But I think we still have to give Hendo a shot at it. And he hasn't probably given a fair sniff at it yet. So I play Hendo a little bit more. I know De Gea came up with a couple big saves today that might not have even counted because the player was offside or the foul might have been looked at. But he hasn't been good. He's been shit this season and given up a lot of bad set-piece goals, a lot of soft goals. He's been muscled out. That one, I'm sorry, the Everton one is egregious. Egregious, not diving for that ball. Like every other keeper in the league dives for that ball, gets kicked in the face. So he's going to likely have to be shipped. I just don't think De Gea is going to be able to play himself back into form. Who's going to take him? The problem is he's on like 350, number one paid goalkeeper in the whole world.
Sure. Ed Woodward special. You pay another team to pay him. That's how you do it.
Maybe he'll go to Inter. But either way, I think you got to start playing Hendo more because I thought you would have seen him today. Dude, you knew West Brom were going to be tackling the shit out of a strong physical. You know, it's just like, you need a Matic. It's like, I just feel like that it hasn't been quite right, sir. And this is another good example. It's like the Hay situation, that's not an easy one to fix. You're given a goalie that's like fading fast, has been a 3-year skid, highest paid in the world, and you're asked to deal with it with a free transfer from your academy goalie. If he does deal with it, it's going to be a lifesaver. But either way, I think it's time to start playing your backup.
I'll tell you, goalkeeping errors, I don't remember being such a thing back in the day. The game has changed so much. I mean, you look at Alisson and like all the mistakes he's been making. I think like as the goalkeeper position has evolved, all these issues have been happening. I think De Gea is caught between, you know, the old guard and the new. And I think there's a lot like ever since we started switching to, you know, when it came under Sir Alex, it was like shot stopper. That's all we need. Now it's like played out the back, do all this stuff. So much more in your mind. And it's been nervy for De Gea ever since the game has kind of changed a little bit. But then you look at Alisson, you're like, okay, he's the best in the game. And then you see him making all these errors. It's like goalkeepers get bad juju, man. It gets in their head and, you know, who knows if they can turn it around. But I do agree. You don't know on Hendo. I don't think we need a new keeper. I thought this was pretty radical from Gary. But, you know, we're not going to fix it right now. And I actually think center backs much more of a concern than goalkeeper. I think we got two solid options right now. Even three. You got Romero, Lee Grant, baby.
Romero is like a very good keeper too. So I agree. I don't think that's the priority. We got a right back cover to buy. We need another CDM. We need CBs. We need a couple CBs, sir. So this is not where I strengthen.
Little academy news here. United under 18s win Manchester Derby thriller against Shitty, sir. You'll love to see it. Manchester United U18 striker Charlie McNeil scored 4 against Man Shitty in the under 18s derby, sir. We rarely talk about U18s. We're always focused on Hannibal, focused on Ahmad, Short Tire, the U23s. But Charlie McNeil with a big day scored 4, sir. Prior to this fixture, Man Shitty U18s were unbeaten all season, so this was a big win. His 4 goals, one included a penalty that was saved. They followed up. Header goal from a corner. And then also, there was sort of like a sportsmanship issue in the match where City took a free throw, a throw when a player was injured for United. And one of the goals, City actually just let him go and score from the kickoff because they realized that was sort of bad sportsmanship. So you can believe it. There's sportsmanship in the U18s.
They still do it old school way. All the academy having a good weekend. The U18s with a win against the City, and then the U23s with a good win against Arsenal. So, hey, they're making us proud. They're playing exciting football. McNeil, former City striker, I think he scored like 600-700 goals for their academy, came and just kissed the badge, sir, after 4 goals. He knows what it's all about, playing for United. There's a lot of talent in those ranks, and the step up is big to the Premier League. But that's being said, is, you know, I think some of those boys are ready to step up. I saw Hannibal is training with the first team. Shola, Shortire, signed his first pro contract, training with the first team. So a lot of good young prospects there, but you still need some strength, some additions. We need some veterans coming in, sir.
Take Erling Haaland, sir.
Plays like a veteran.
Let's turn up the heat. Let's see what social media has to say, sir. I'm going to throw it at you. You know, I expect some hot reactions here. Just kidding. We'll keep the temperature easy. At Boham Boy for Life, our boy Devin, quote, need to stop playing down to other teams' levels who are in the bottom half of the table. Seems like the team that shows up against either rivals or top half teams, sir. It's like, I do agree. Play down to our competition here.
Play down our competition, play up to our competition, just lack of consistency, lack of mentality, shooting ourselves in the foot with poor goals. That early goal to concede is piss poor. So that leaves a bad taste in every United fan's mouth.
You know, and shout out to all the United fans watching these games, man. I mean, this season's been a hell of a season. It's been a hell of a ride. Bouncing out of UCL, top of the table, 21. Now we're down. It's like, don't worry, we're coming back. So, you know, we feel your pain. This is pod therapy, sir.
Get it out. Keep it coming, sir.
At Dave Paz, quote, we really struggled to break these types of teams down. We were slow and too wasteful. The lads looked tired, but we're still in second in the Scousers loss yesterday. Happy days. At least we didn't lose.
At least we didn't lose. We still got the good away record. I think it's going to be the best of the rest. I think that should be the battle for United. Try and push on. It's first. It looks out of our reach, but we should still finish strong, like to finish second. You don't want to be like clawing for Champions League again, sir. That was too nervy last year. This team has progressed. Just maybe we're not quite there yet.
Apricot Mets, positive take here on the podcast. Quote, probably deserved a win, but once again, didn't do enough to grab the game by the shirt and drag it over the line. I'll wait to see the Everton City result to make a declaration on the title race. That's optimistic. Hopefully we see Ahmad on Thursday to brighten up a Europa League game. Totally agree. You know, Ahmad should be getting his debut.
He should. And we should freshen it up. We got to freshen things up. We got to rely on some other players in the squad to get minutes, get goals. And the only way you do it is by playing it. So I don't want to see that same 11 in Turin. We got to change things up a little bit.
At Jamal Motok, sirs, following this team is bad for your health. Typical performance against the relegation side. Why do we always concede so early? I'm tired of waiting for Martial to shine at the cost of Rashford. It's a battle to stay in the top 4 now, and I'm sure the Ole Out crew is back. I haven't seen them, sir. Have you seen them on Twitter?
I wasn't looking, but I'm sure they're there, sir. I think I went to YouTube to look for highlights, and one of the competing podcasts on the other side of the pond was already there. Their clickbait was Ole Out, so we know how they like to lead.
Sir, we don't compete. We don't compete. We say how it is. We give you that biased take, and you know, if you like it, you like it. You don't, you don't. At MJFit16, quote, everyone will condemn the back two, but the idea that we're all powerful going forward doesn't seem true. One goal versus West Brom is not a recipe for success. You know, what do you make of that, sir?
Yeah, he's right. We gave up one shit goal at the beginning, and they had some good chance. They had the better chances, but we didn't create nearly enough. We didn't play well. We didn't play well. We set up like a team that was ready to counter or like shut down a really attacking, proficient team. They're like West Bromwich Albion sitting in 19th place. It's like, yeah, go out there and attack, create, put balls in, get Mata on the wing. It just seems so stale. Nobody was moving. Sorry, I hated every minute of it.
No, but it seems like Devin's right. And you're right from earlier, where it's like, why play the Fred McTominay midfield? You play against City, you play against Chelsea, you play against Leicester. That midfield against West Brom, it seems like you need the nine attackers, break them down, go all in, you know, team, and then you need the Fred McTominay midfield for the other category of teams you're going to be playing in the league who are going to be coming at you, and then you need to change your strategy a little more, and then to play that an Ole's view of like, hey, I get it, that's the best 11, but I think you need more. Because you've seen it, that we haven't been able to deal with it so many times, you got to change it up, like you said.
You got Matic, you got Donny van de Beek. It's like, I would love to have seen Matic and Donny in that midfield today.
You got Ahmad.
But those players are even ahead of Ahmad, ready to go, have one dude, Matic's won a title. So I'm just saying, it's like, he's a good player. You know you needed to freshen it up, dude. You watched that West Ham game. Fred was bad. He was bad again today. But there were a lot of bad players. Rashford was bad.
You're a Fred guy, and you're a Fred guy. You're like El Pastor fan.
Number one fan, sir. I went to both of his weddings, sir. Both weddings.
Yeah, both weddings, yeah. Give Fred's wife the captain arm.
Two weddings
bro.
In a year. That's insane.
I'll tell you what, she's got the right mentality. She's able to get two weddings out of him. At Charlie_Ferris, quote, here we go again. More drop points playing down in the competition. For me, Tony needs an extended run on the bench. No balance when he's on the left or Rashi on the right. Hope for a response midweek. Also continuing positive thoughts for Alex and the fam, sir.
Appreciate all the positive thoughts and words we got from the American Red Devil community. Much love. It goes a long way. So hopefully, I wish United could kind of come up with their end of the bargain, but hey, that's not the way the world works.
That's not the way things work.
So it's all good.
At CJ says, quote, Craig Paulson, man, unbelievable. Bruno looked to be the only player who wanted to win today. So close. Glad to see Donny get minutes. Totally agree. You got to slate the ref. Although I always hate when fans slate the ref, but he had a bad game.
He had a very bad game. And there's been a lot of very bad games. And just even as a neutral watching other teams play, it's like I feel like the officiating, as the expectations have gone up, maybe because there's more things to look at now with VAR, the officiating has gotten worse. You know, just the lack of consistency between games. It's not great. But then again, we created jack shit today. I think our XG was less than one. So you can't defend that either.
At MyBa13, I do my best on pronouncing the Twitter handles, by the way. Losing to the 20th place team and then a draw against the 19th place team. That's not good enough. Disappointed with the result, but on to the next one. And I think we're going to end on this. At BleedingRedSD11, quote, fuck it. Manchester United till I die. And then in the afterlife, hashtag Glazers out, hashtag Sack Woodward, sir. You're not going to hear a lot of it. You know, you're going to hear a lot about Ole. You're going to hear a lot about Harry and the center backs. You're going to hear a lot about De Gea. Anyone, like when you and me can see it from a mile away, the scouts have to know it. They're telling Ed Woodward, we need a center back. We need to strengthen our defense, sir. We need a CDM. We need balance on the right. There's a lot of things about this team that are absolutely clear that we should have gotten in the summer. And if we had gotten those, 21 might be a real thing. And so when you're seeing Ole play Rashford on the right and Martial on the left, you can play Rashford on the left, but then who do you play on the right? You play Greenwood. Then if you can't play him, you play Dan James. Is that really enough for Manchester United? Is that enough for 38 games? Is Lindelof and Maguire starting every single league game for 38 games? Is that enough for Manchester United? Because we got an injury-prone Eric Bailly that you already knew about, and Phil Jones ain't doing nothing. It's like you could have seen this from a mile away. And if they did, sir, we would be talking about running for 21. If they weren't so focused on the goddamn Tampa Bay Buccaneers and that stupid Super Bowl win, Tom Brady throwing the goddamn trophy, sir, absolutely pisses me off. But you can't take your eye off the mark. They did a half-assed job given Ole the players they did in the summer, and that's why we're struggling. You could totally see it. It's like we're dying for goals, we're dying for width, we're dying for balance, and our defense is in shambles. Hashtag Glazers out, sir. They got $58 million on the balance sheet. Help ain't coming soon. Help ain't coming until after butts are in the season, until they sell this goddamn club.
Sorry, and that has to be the message, because if Ole won in this league with this team, it would have been a miracle, a Fergie-esque miracle. And it's a bridge too far for this team and the level of investment that has been made. It's like, it's laughable. In the summer, we were the 10th most spending squad. We spent less than Villa. City bought two new center backs for their player, you know, for their manager who gets everything he wants and more. Dude, they're going to spend even more money. They're going to get a Messi in Holland and Jesus. But all I'm saying is, like, this club.
And dude, does Pep look at the right wing and doesn't know who he's going to put on the team sheet?
He's got so many options.
It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unfucking believable. And that's the point. And you have to look at it. It's clear as day. You look at the other side of Manchester and you see somebody running away with the title. And you look at the investments. You look at the strengthening in their club. And you look at the intentions. And that gets results. And look, Ole can only do so much. I got to back Ole, dude. He's done a good job. Yeah, the tactics get stale. Totally see it. Like, Big Sam was going to pack it in. Duh. But, like, at the end of the day, who else is going to come on off the bench? Donnie? Greenwood? James? Is that enough?
No.
And when Martial's out of form already playing and Rashford's out of position, sir, could go on all day.
Sir. Go all day. I could. All day. But it's true, and we've all said it all before, but it has to be repeated. So
that is the podcast, sir. That's the pod. Thank you for listening. You like the American Red Devils. You like our rantings and ravings, sir. It was a tough 1-1, but it's pod therapy. I feel better. I don't know about you.
I feel great. Feeling great, sir. Hey, can only go off from here. Still second. Still second in the league. So we are doing something right, and we're skinny to the bad. But you've always said it. We've always said it. Ole is streaky. Now it's time to turn that streak around. And, hey, man, we got to take whatever opportunity we have to turn things around. And that starts with, hey, it's not quite European Nights. It's like European Nights. Stepbrother, that intro, bro. Whoever's running UEFA Europa League needs to get fired.
Sir, you know, absolutely. The American Red Devils, for fans, by fans. You want to support the pod, check out Patreon, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. We have great fan content. We got our store with the Glazers Out scarf, sir. We got shirts and everything. We got a bunch of new merch coming as well. Drop a review on iTunes. We'll send you a free sticker, sir. We have some top downloads last 7 days. Give us the list.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Somerset, New Jersey. Number two, Stephanie, UK. Chiba, Japan. Sewickley, PA, Chicago, Illinois, LA, California, Lakewood, Ohio, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Birmingham, Alabama, and last but not least, Hotlanta, Georgia. Appreciate all the downloads, all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out, sir. Hey, there's plenty to play for still. Let's secure second place. Let's win the FA Cup. It's progress, sir. It's progress, but Glazers out. That's got to be the mantra.
Sir, never give in. Never say die. Manchester United is the best fucking club till I die, sir. As always.
Kick it a blue.